We have just begun a study in the Gospel of Luke, and last week I ended my exposition and our study together of Luke chapter 1. It's been said that repetition is the best teacher known to mankind. So I have prepared a brief summary outline for you to keep in your Bibles or wherever else it may be kept handy for you. There's so much content in Luke chapter 1, and rightly so. That's just the nature of Luke's gospel. He's very thorough, he's very detailed, and we dare not skim it. We dare not treat it superficially, but it does take some work. So I commend you who are listening and have showed the devotion of faith necessary to be attentive and catch what Luke is saying in these very important introduction of Luke chapter 1 and 2 to the balance of his gospel. So I have prepared this brief summary outline. It is very brief. And my hope is that you will meditate on these things daily. And by doing so, be progressively transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this is just a brief summary of what we discussed and what we learned in Luke chapter 1. Point one, Luke begins his gospel with a dedication to Theophilus, which translated means lover of God. This gospel is dedicated to one man, but intended for the edification and instruction of all believers, since all Christians are lovers of God. Luke's central concern is that you have a thorough account, and not just of the historic facts, but also the Spirit-revealed truth, and thereby enjoy certainty about your place in the redemptive narrative. Luke's central concern is that you have certainty, not just about the gospel itself, as important as that is, but your place in that gospel narrative as well. Point two. Zacharias and Elizabeth are both actual historic people, and also representative of the low spiritual state of Israel in the early hours of the first century. I told you that there had been no new word from God for 400 years, and so religion had become routine and lifeless, as it always does even today when there's no fresh word from God through the scriptures and by the Spirit. The central truth here with Zacharias and Elizabeth is that it is quite possible to be meticulous in compliance to the commands and the ordinances of the law and yet be spiritually barren due to unbelief. You can have a lot of external religion. You can have a lot of external religious compliance and still harbor destructive unbelief in your own heart. And what's more, in your own mouth. To give voice to unbelief is to increase its hold. And so we learned in this narrative that Zechariah was struck mute until the time of John's birth to avoid him speaking unbelief for 9 months. Now, point three. The promise to Zacharias and Elizabeth of a child, as announced by Gabriel, came about not as a reward for their scrupulous observances of the law, but because God is gracious. Thus the child's name would be John, which translated means God is gracious. When Elizabeth conceived, she was also freed from the toxic religious shame of being barren. And so another point we learned is that superstition and toxic shame are always present wherever the word of God is not heard and handled rightly. Point four. Gabriel's announcement to barren Elizabeth and a young virgin later named Mary further underscores the gracious dealings of God with the lowly and the powerless. We can see a theme building here. It is the poor, the lowly, the powerless, and the humble to whom God reveals himself as a perfect and complete Savior. Salvation is not defined as God assisting the good in order to become better. Rather, salvation is defined as God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. God saves and transforms the powerless sinner, and he does so completely and perfectly without fail. Point 5. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes the central role of the Holy Spirit in bringing the promises of God to Abraham and David to fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth. Indeed, the redemptive life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth himself was reliant upon the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. We'll learn later in Luke chapter 4. How much more then are we to be reliant upon the power and anointing of the Spirit to fulfill our mission to continue the work of the Incarnation? The Song of Mary, point 6, the Song of Mary and the prophecy of Zacharias stood and do stand as testimonies to the character and ways of our Savior God. The central point being, God keeps his promises. And the promises are fulfilled in the new covenant. The covenant with Abraham, as well as the covenant with David, were fulfilled and concluded in the new covenant, which I told you, according to Isaiah 42, that new covenant is not on tablets of stone, it is not on parchments, it is not written down and held in record anywhere in a vault. The new covenant is a person. The new covenant is embodied. The new covenant is an embodied covenant, meaning it is lived out. It is incarnate in the person of Jesus. In the incarnate Word of God, the new covenant is embodied. And those who are in Christ are also embody that covenant. The Christian life is an embodied life. If we are not spiritual beings living out in a human body, we are body, soul, and spirit. We are one being. Our bodies play a role, and our bodies have a role in our redemption. We exercise discipline with our bodies. We use our bodies to glorify the Lord. The new covenant, then, is an embodied covenant. And then finally, point 7, the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham and David is a creation of a redeemed new covenant people of God, a people granted deliverance from their enemies in order to live without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all the days of their lives. That is an unspeakable glory. The promise to Abraham is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And for those who are in him, we have been delivered from our enemies of misery, sin, and death in order to live without fear in true holiness and true righteousness, because it is Christ's holiness. It is Christ's righteousness. In his presence, in God's presence, we are now before him, where once we turned our backs on him, we now are before him all the days of our lives. And I told you that the assurance of this outcome is as secure as God's oath, which he swore by himself, because he could swear by no one greater. And it's an oath that's mediated by the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And you, beloved of God, have been given the indwelling Holy Spirit as your assurance and seal of your place in this outcome of living without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in his presence all the days of your life. No mere words can fully express the glories of the new covenant promises fulfilled in the person and work of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet I do hope you are beginning to grasp the enormity of this great reality. Salvation is far more than just getting a ticket punched for heaven when you die. Salvation is a coherent, lived out, fulfilled, though not in the now and not yet of life. We are now the children of God. We are now embodied. That embody the new covenant. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. So we will continue this study with chapter 2 in Luke's Gospel on Sunday, September 30th. I hope this helps you a little just to grasp another kind of an overview, a brief review of what we studied and the glories of that. It has only left me almost speechless as I've reviewed this again myself to see just what it means for you and I as Christians to be children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. There's such a deliverance. We all long and we all understand how glorious it will be in the fully realized kingdom of heaven, in the fully realized new heaven and new earth. But we must realize also that that kingdom and that new creation has been inaugurated in the present. You are a new creation in Christ today. You are holy. You are righteous before God today. And that holiness and that righteousness is also intended to be worked out in your character, in your actual being conformed to the moral character of Christ today. That transformation only comes in Him. Well, I hope this has helped, and may the Lord continue to bless you as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.